This is Cam.
And I'm Jen.
And you're listening to
Our True Crime Podcast.
This is Edward October, and I'm here with my friend, Rollo, the Devil Doll. You see, I must explain. Like all demonic ventriloquist dummies, Rollo has a problem with swearing. Rollo, stop it. We're here to tell everyone that Our True Crime Podcast may not be appropriate for all listeners.
Because they're so filthy!
Rollo, it's not that. Jen and Cam would like us to remind everyone that they discuss subject matter that may be disturbing to some listeners, especially children.
Oh, your mother!
Listener discretion is advised.
Greetings, I'm Stefan.
And I'm Anthony.
And we're the co-hosts of Hyperbole, a comedy advice podcast.
We know what it's like to have unanswered questions, and it sucks.
Yeah, we know you've all asked things like, should I tell people about my burping fetish?
Yeah, or should I tell my boyfriend I know he pooped the bed?
Okay, so maybe you haven't asked these questions.
But someone has, and we're going to make sure we answer them.
Listen to Hyperbole, a comedy advice podcast, anywhere your ears consume content.
Do it now, so you can drink up our sweet advice nectar.
Our wisdom ambrosia.
Our sage-seasoned Kobe beef.
A refreshing cucumber brojito.
Hi, true crime fans. I'm Erin.
And I'm Shay. We host All Crime, No Cattle, a conversational podcast which focuses on true crime stories from the Lone Star State.
We strive to bring you a balanced and well-researched story about Texas cases big and small.
We do the research so you don't have to.
We also end every episode with a good news story, just to remind everyone that real life isn't quite as depressing as true crime can make it out to be.
New episodes drop every Thursday, and you can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. All crime, no cattle, because crime is bigger in Texas, y'all.
Cam, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am so excited.
Are you excited?
Not really. It's going to snow.
I love snow. It's only snowing 1 to 3 inches. That's nothing.
Yeah, but it's the
ice. You should be used to 1 to 3 inches.
At least I get 1 to 3 inches.
Okay.
You know, last week we were in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to stay kind of in the Soviet Union. And not because I really like the Soviet Union. It's because when I bought the book on Sergei Golovkin, it had a bonus killer in it. This killer, he's pretty prolific. He's killed like 52 people. His name is Anatoly Onoprienko. That's a mouthful. So he was born in the village of Vlasky in the Ukraine on July 27th, 1954. His father, Yuri, was a World War II hero with the Soviet Union, but he was also abusive and he was an alcoholic. He also had a younger brother who was about 13 years older than he was. So that's kind of like you. You have your sister's that much older than you.
Almost 14.
Mm-hmm. When Anatoly was 4 years old, his mother died. And his father, for some reason, didn't want him around, so he sent him to live with his grandparents and his aunt. Well, unfortunately, the grandparents really didn't want to care for him either, so they sent him to an orphanage. And, of course, this made Anatoly
a Russian orphan. Is it Russia?
Ukraine. Oh.
So it's a terrible place.
Orphanage. Most likely.
Yeah.
But this was back in early 60s.
That's probably even worse.
So Anatoly, of course, became bitter towards his father, because who wouldn't?
Those are your last two dudes had a little father thing instead of a mother thing.
They were both in Russia, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Or both in the Soviet Union. But yeah, he was very bitter because his father sent him to the orphanage, but his older brother was allowed to stay. Anatoly said, I remember my brother and my father just staring at me saying, let's send him to an orphanage. And he said, I don't blame them for that, but just the memory of that horrifies me. And I remember the voices of them. I remember the whole situation of them talking. Nobody really knows why he was sent to the orphanage alone while his brother stayed with his father. His grandmother did stay with him for a couple days at the orphanage just to help him adjust to everything, but she would leave and would visit and bring care packages with food and stuff like that.
Why wouldn't she take him?
The father gave him to...
But why wouldn't the grandmother step in and be like,
maybe
I'll take
him? Maybe she was too old. I don't know. Just didn't send him to the orphanage. So Anatoly was shy and quiet, and he did manage to make friends inside the orphanage, and he did play sports and other activities. His grades began to decline as he entered college for forestry at the age of 14, which is us. Actually, forestry is one of the top professions of serial killers, by the way.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Teachers noted that there was a shift in his personality, and they started to become concerned. And actually, around this time, he began drinking vodka at 14 when he was studying, like his father, and he became involved in petty thefts. So, stealing at a young age. At 17, he decided forestry college wasn't for him. So, he went and joined the army. And that's where he learned to use firearms.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really become a good soldier. He just became a good shot. But he says, you know, when he was 20 years old, he called himself stupid because he didn't understand people. And he said, when I was 20 years old, I called myself stupid because I couldn't understand people. If they were smart, then I must be stupid.
Mm.
Anatoly was discharged from the army, so he became a sailor. Because normal, right?
Wait, he went from the army?
To a sailor.
Okay.
He gained employment on a cruise ship, and he would steal money from the cabins. Despite being antisocial, Anatoly did have a handful of girlfriends that he would try to impress with gifts that he purchased for them with his stolen
purchase
money.
Purchase or stole. Oh, there you go.
He would purchase the gifts, but he would steal the money.
Uh-huh.
One waitress on the cruise ship caught his eye, of course, and they started dating. They dated for about 3 years, and they had a baby together. He tried to be a father for a while, but discovered that it just wasn't for him. So just... in the middle of the night, or just without a word, he left his girlfriend and the baby and never saw them again. He would later say that he felt he had a unique destiny and that he had to go out and find it. And he felt very restless at home, almost stifled by married life, and it just wasn't for him. And he needed something more. And something more would be murder. In 1989, the USSR was collapsing, like we spoke about with Sergei. Nobody was responsible for anything. I mean, the police were so busy, they couldn't do anything.
Mass chaos.
In 1989, that's when Anatoly began his criminal activities. His first murder was his landlady. He broke into her apartment just to steal some jewelry that she had. The landlady, unfortunately, came home while Anatoly was in her apartment.
That's not going to end good.
Nope. And she demanded to know what he was doing in her house. So he panicked and he shot her.
Mm-hmm.
He then ran out of the apartment and continued on like everything was fine. And because the police resources were so stretched out, he was never questioned and the crime remained unsolved. A little bit later, Anatoly teamed up with a fellow petty thief by the name of Sergei Roganzin. And the duo would break into houses around Kiev. One late night, they were returning home from thievery or thefting or robbing. The two spotted a car pulling a trailer. Anatoly sped in front of the vehicle and then blocked its route, then jumped out of his car with a sawed-off shotgun. There was a young couple inside the vehicle, and Anatoly fired and killed them. Sergei Rogozin's like, man, what are you doing? We're just supposed to rob these people. Anatoly's like, shut up. And if you say anything, I will kill your entire family and I'll make you watch. Do you understand? Mm. And Sergei said that all he could do was nod his head. Anatoly then buried the bodies of the couple and then set fire to the car. A month later, these two thieves gunned down another couple using the same method. The victims were always caught unaware and defenseless, and Anatoly would spring out of the car, grab a shotgun, and just blast away without any warning. Sergei would say nothing and just take whatever valuables that he could pull off the victim. I mean, he knew it was wrong. He didn't want to do it, but he wasn't stopping Anatoly from doing it. This is how Anatoly got his body count, basically. He would stop families on abandoned roads, and he would kill everybody inside, even if there was children. They once killed a family of 10, which they were in the middle of robbing the house, and...
10 people? Like, could... That's... Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. It was 2 adults and 8 kids. And after that, that's when Anatoly quit hanging out with Sergei. Sergei would later say of Anatoly, he was a kind, intelligent man. He wasn't greedy, and he seemed good-natured. I cannot say anything bad about him. What the hell?
He was a good person. He had a good heart. He had a good heart.
He's just misunderstood.
He was. He just, not his fault. Good guy. Fun to party with.
Unreal.
Killers function at a different, they have to have a whole different view of mankind than most people. You know what I mean?
Like, mm-hmm. After Anatoly broke it off with Sergei, Anatoly moved in with like a distant cousin. How distant? I don't know. But he moved in with him. And actually, for there's 6 years in his life that's pretty much unaccounted for. It's rumored that maybe he went to a mental institution.
I was just going to say that. Or drugs, like drug abuse.
Others insisted that he was probably responsible for war crimes around the former Soviet Union. At one point, he tried to get asylum to Western Europe, but he failed. He worked in Germany and Austria. When he was later interrogated, they asked him if he killed anyone there, and he said no, but he did commit robberies. When he came back to the Ukraine after his disappearance, you know, he thought he was this legend.
Legend in his own mind.
He anticipated that he was going to be a legend, but his crimes were unknown, and basically nobody was even investigating him. Anatoly said at one time he decided that maybe he should just commit suicide and stop this mission because he felt that it was his mission to kill. As time passed, he said that there was just an order from above that said that he couldn't kill himself, that he was supposed to live and keep doing what he was doing and finish this game.
Which is code for I'm chicken and I will kill other people, but I will not kill myself.
Him. Yeah. So when he came back and realized that everything had been forgotten and nobody was looking for him, this is when he decided to go on his second killing spree. So Anatoly moved from town to town, visited relatives. They were, of course, hunters, so he stole the shotgun. Of course he did, because, you know, he's a thief.
What they do.
He would then take that shotgun that he stole and saw off the barrel of the gun so he could cause maximum damage to a... And he not only wanted to kill again, but he wanted to be noticed for these murders. He wanted the notoriety of killing people. His first kill for this new crime wave was a 70-year-old woman in Odessa. He broke into her home. He shot her, killed her, and then set her home on fire. And he later said that his purpose wasn't to rob, but his purpose was to be cruel. And he said he couldn't explain it, but he wanted to threaten people and threaten the police. And he wanted to lead them in the wrong direction. He would travel to another town and scope it out. And one night he was looking around and he came across a young couple having sex in their car. And he said he shot them from the driver's side. He wounded the man and then the woman jumped out of the car. I waited until she put her clothes on and then she ran off, probably to get some help. The woman returned shortly thereafter to check on her lover. So I guess she ran and waited and then came back. After she thought the coast was clear, but he was hiding near her car.
Ugh.
And that's when he stabbed her to death.
So he really was killing because he liked killing. He wasn't...
He was killing. Now he was killing to be notorious.
There's not a reason, though. He's not raping them or...
No. Hmm. He stabbed her to death. Then he put the woman in the car, shot the man again, and then drove to a secluded area and then set the car on fire. He said, this is when I started to realize that there was a plan for me. Something was giving me direction.
Voices? Was he hearing voices? Or
once he was in the orphanage, he mm-hmm. kind of felt that he was destined to be, he had a destiny.
Evil like a, or great, and his greatness was killing.
He just had a destiny, and this was what he was, not necessarily to be famous, but he had a destiny, and he figured out that this was his destiny.
Purpose. Yeah, his
yeah, destiny. Not just to kill...
And also be known for it and to be good at it.
Well, he wanted to be known for it, but that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was just to kill.
Right.
But while he was doing it, he might as well be famous. Anatoly started to target families that lived in isolated areas around Kiev. He would follow the same thing. He would stalk them. He would create a distraction, usually throwing a brick in the front window, because that's going to do it, right?
That'll do it.
And he would do whatever he could to lure the adult male out of the house.
That's so scary.
He would then kill the man and then kill the wife, and he would save the kids for last. He would then set the house on fire to remove all the evidence. And if there by chance he came across a witness, he would kill them. Anatoly liked to kill at night. During the day, he played the role of a down-in-the-luck blue-collar worker. But at night, he would seek out fame and be a serial killer.
So that's really what he, like you said, that's what he thought his purpose was. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be famous. He wanted to be known for this, right? Mm-hmm. He wanted to be good at it. Meaning like he felt that he was good at this. This is what he had to do.
This was his destiny.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So shortly after, he would move to a town called Yavoriv. Y-A-V-O-R-I-V.
Sounds good to me.
With his brother, Peter. We're going to call him Peter. It's Pyotr. Pyotr. P-Y-O-T-E-R.
I think it's Peter. Yeah, it is Peter.
Let's go with Peter. We're going to go with Peter. The German Ukrainian version of Peter. And his wife, Yelena. Supposedly, Ukrainian families are communal, and Peter saw it was his duty to take care of his struggling down on his
poor
luck.
Peter. Pyotr. Mm-hmm. He should know better.
Yelena, not a big fan of Anatoly. She said there was something off about this man.
Yeah, he was a killer.
And she knew there was a little something else about this man. She felt a little uneasy with him when she discovered that there was a rifle under his bed. And Yelena pressured her husband into kicking Anatoly out of the house.
I'm going to guess that probably wasn't good.
Peter couldn't throw his cousin out on the street, so he decided to what? Play matchmaker.
Oh, geez.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. He knew a hairdresser that was recently divorced.
Oh, stay away, girl. Stay away.
And looking for a decent man.
Wrong spot.
To be her meal ticket. So she's a hairdresser that wants a man for a meal ticket, so he's going to introduce her to his down-on-his-luck
nighttime serial killer.
Hobo.
Cousin.
Secret serial killer.
Right.
Match made in heaven, I'm telling you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What could go wrong there?
Find a decent man for her meal ticket. What the hell? So anyway, what's Peter to do? But he threw a family party. Woo! Let's invite this woman over.
She can cut hair.
She can.
We can cook. And he can kill.
And he can kill.
That's great.
Immediately hit it off with Anatoly. Her name was Anna. And she's got a last name, but I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
It's okay. It's Anna from Ukraine. I know her.
Anna. It's like Kazakh.
It's okay.
Kazakh. Anna.
How do you spell it?
K-A-Z-A-K. Kazakh. Anna Kazakh.
Kazakh. I'd say Kazakh.
Maybe. It's something like that. She had two children.
Oh, and she's bringing two children on board with this mess?
Her ex-husband was an alcoholic, so...
So a serial killer should be a new problem.
She was very, very attractive to Anatoly's soft-spokenness.
What does that even mean?
Speaks softly and carries a sawed-off shotgun. So they soon began living together.
Mm-hmm.
Anatoly told Anna, since they were now living together, that he was a traveling businessman. So she never questioned.
She was a traveling businessman, all right? Traveling at night, taking care of business.
Mm-hmm. She never questioned his long absences because he was on business. Anatoly would travel to a town called Malin, where that was often hit with blackouts, loss of power. That way he would be able to get in and out, do his killings under darkness. And no one had electricity or capability for calling for help. So it was like perfect for a serial killer.
Yeah.
It really was. We'll have to remember that. Write that down.
Honestly.
Take notes, shorthand.
In a city or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine?
If you constantly...
There's no power. No security system. No lights.
Before cell phones. So if your power was out, your phone was out, you were screwed. On one Christmas Eve, Anatoly came upon this secluded house. Inside the small house, a forestry teacher lived with his wife and two sons. Anatoly crept around the house and found a ladder. propped it up against the wall, and he climbed up to the bedroom window, and he shot through the glass, and he killed the father and the 3-year-old son who was sleeping with him. Later, he would say, I just shot him. It's not like, not that it gave me pleasure, but I felt this urge. And from then on, it was almost like some game from outer space.
That he would stalk these people and like climb to windows just and shoot them?
Just shooting people. It was just like a game to him.
Space invaders.
Anatoly then jumped through the window and went room to room into this house. The wife, of course, pleaded not to kill them. So he stabbed her and then strangled the 3-month-old baby. He said he'd stabbed and strangled because he didn't want to waste bullets on the weak.
And you're not going to waste bullets?
On the weak?
Walk out. Walk out, buddy.
Just leave him. He then ripped the wedding rings off the couple's hands, as well as taking a small golden cross on a chain, earrings, and clothes. He ripped the wedding rings off the couples, and then he torched the house again. Later, he would tell police that it was a vision from God that ordered him to murder. Mm-mm. The police, or one of the investigators, which came to the scene, said they were in shock, and they discovered that the whole family had been violently murdered. And at the time, they didn't know the reason why. They had leads. The only thing that they knew is burglary was the main motive.
He didn't rape the women, right?
No. At the time, they said it was burglary was the motive.
But you wouldn't kill those people like that.
And they thought that the homicide was purpose for the, like, he was caught, so
he
killed.
It was incidental. Yeah, right. But you don't kill a 3-month-old.
Well, people in their right minds don't. He returned home Christmas morning. He was with Anna and her sons, and then stayed that week. And then New Year's Eve, he had to go away on business again. Yeah, he killed that family on Christmas Eve. That's...
So I'm just thinking, like, you come home and your whole personality changes and you're with your loved one, and she had kids. Mm-hmm. You just killed kids. You know what I mean?
Smaller kids. Anatoly then went to another town where he acted out more killings. At one point, he was stalking the town at night. Streets were deserted, and this man started walking towards him. Anatoly asked how he was, said, I was wondering if you could give me a dollar or two so I could get something to eat. He started begging on the street. And the man said, get away from me, you bum, or other choice words.
That is not the right thing to say to him.
And this man was dressed in a forestry uniform and looked like he was just getting off work. Anatoly said, it's just a dollar. And the guy said, F you. The man turned around and started to walk, and Anatoly shot him in the back. He fell face first to the ground. Anatoly drug him to the side of the road and rifled through his pockets. He took his keys, his money, and stripped him naked. I don't know why he stripped him naked. He was just getting started for this night. After he killed this man, he was walking down the street, and he noticed a man hanging curtains in a window. So Anatoly fired away, killed the man that was in the window, then broke into the home. Killed the man's wife and her twin sisters that were also living with them. Remember, the Ukrainians are very family-oriented. He cut the wife's finger off and stole her wedding ring. He said it was like cutting through a tree branch. It was very easy. Cutting through flesh was like cutting through butter.
No, it is not.
I don't think so either. So he stood around and like looked at the scene for a while, and like he admired what he was doing. I was observing the victims, he said, those who were already killed, how they were killed or were dying, or how they were living the last minutes of their lives. That's what he was enjoying.
See, that's sick. That's why I didn't get he's stealing stuff, but you could steal stuff without killing people. Genuinely enjoys
killing.
Killing.
Or
yes.
Playing God. After he watched them die, he set the house on fire like he does. He then hopped on a train and returned home like everything was fine. And once he got home, he took the woman's finger. The wedding ring off.
Yeah.
And proposed to Anna.
No, he did not.
He did. Isn't it romantic? Seriously. It's bad enough getting a secondhand ring, but one
that's
that
a second finger
just
ring.
Taken off a dead woman's finger. Could you imagine?
But and you know what? You know he had to like get off on that. You know he'd like that. He'd like the fact that he did that. And he, you know what I mean? He's responsible for that. He, look at me. That little perverted happiness that he got from that.
The police said that after the second murder, that they knew that there was a maniac on their hands.
Wow. Really?
By George, I think you've got it. We came to the location, viewed the scene, and saw the brutality of the crime, and it had become absolutely clear to us that it was the same man that committed all these killings.
Finally.
Ding, 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 ding.
And we have a winner.
Well, you have to remember that they were stretched.
Plus, there was no reason. That's the thing. It was just random, It wasn't like he was a serial rapist or he was like a big burglar that was stealing diamonds. He was randomly killing these people for no reason.
In secluded little towns.
He just liked it. It's weird.
I mean, Ukraine was just now a country. But remember, like we talked about in Sergei, remember how the Soviet Union liked secret?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, since he was going to different towns, these towns were still used to keeping all these things secret. So they weren't...
They didn't share information with each other, which would have
Because it was part of the propaganda that... We don't have murders in this communist
territory. We're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, but...
There's no serial... Yeah. Serial killers didn't exist. Old habits die hard and people hate change. Investigators said that it was striking how systematic these murders were. Whole families were wiped out for no reason, and they were just completely astonished that that would even happen.
Mm-hmm. And I would think that would be hard to pinpoint a murderer for that. There is no rhyme or reason.
So 4 days after his marriage proposal, he started gunning people down right on a highway. It's called...
He was shooting people on a highway?
Just gunning them down. He stopped cars, feigning like he needed assistance, and then he would shoot the drivers. He killed 4 people this way. He killed someone in the Navy, a taxi driver, a cook, and some other unidentified victim. He said it was like hunting. Hunting people down. I would be sitting bored with nothing to do, and then suddenly this idea would get in my head. I would do everything to get it out of my mind, but I couldn't. It was stronger than me. So I would get in the car or catch a train and go out to kill. After the killings on the highway, Anatoly waited for 11 days and then took the train to another village and invaded the home of the Palat family. He shot all 5 members in the home and then set fire to the house, but... On the way out, he was seen by 2 witnesses.
Thank goodness.
And he killed them both.
Never mind.
He said, I look at it very simply. As an animal, I watched all this as an animal would stare at sheep. And so now he's just got total bloodlust. He's not even trying to hide it. He can't even refrain himself. He's just got to kill. So on January 30th, 1996, he killed a nurse named Marusina. And her 2 sons and a family friend in Vestovia in Ukraine. And he said, I couldn't stop myself. I became obsessed with killing. To me, killing people is like ripping up a duvet. Men, women, old people, children, they're all the same. I've never felt sorry for those that I've killed. No love, no hatred, just blind indifference. I don't see them as individuals, but just as masses. Anatoly would continue to take small items from the homes as souvenirs. He would bring his fiancée clothes, jewelry, he brought him a tape deck, and he gave them to him as gifts. On February 19th, 1996, Anatoly invaded a home with a family, and he shot and killed the father and son. Then he bludgeoned the mother to death with a hammer. Remember, he doesn't like to shoot the weak. The family also had a daughter, and he came across her in her room, and she was praying. He's like, where does your parents keep the money? And she got defiant and she looked him straight in the eye and she's like, I'm not going to show you. He like kept asking her where the money is and she wouldn't do it. She was very defiant.
Thank goodness.
After she
said,
no, I won't. He killed her.
Of course he did.
But he said that little girl's strength was incredible and he respected her, but he still felt nothing. So I'm assuming he shot her because she wasn't weak. Anatoly then broke into another home and started throwing a rock at the door. The father had an axe.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say shotgun, but okay.
No, did not scare Anatoly whatsoever. He shot the man, and then the wife came down to investigate the noise. He then went inside and chopped up the daughters with the axe, and then a neighbor came onto the property, and Anatoly shot him and then chopped up his body as well. Afterwards, Anatoly said, you know, I killed them because I loved them so much. Those children, those men and women, I had to kill them. The inner voice inside my mind and heart just pushed me so hard. On March 22nd, 1996, Anatoly shot and killed members of another family and, of course, set fire to the house and removed all traces of evidence. The police noticed that he would always set the crime scenes on fire, and people would see the fire and come to fight it, and there was never any evidence left. But there were holes in the walls, so the police used forensic science to discover that the holes in the walls were left by a hunting weapon, specifically a gun with the barrel sawed off. Anatoly would later say, "I'm not a maniac. If I were, I would have thrown myself into you and killed you right here. No, it's not that simple. I have been taken over by a higher force, something telepathic or cosmic, which drove me. I am like a rabbit in a laboratory. I'm part of an experiment to prove that man is capable of murdering and learning to live with his crimes, to show that I can cope, that I can stand everything and forget everything." So at this point, the Ukrainian government couldn't keep quiet about these killings any longer. Rumors started to spread of a man who was on a rampage throughout this country and was murdering families at random.
Everybody. Anybody. Right. For no reason.
Everybody. People all over this region lived in fear, and some families would stay together at night and press furniture up against the door. People started to go home from work early. They were just scared to death.
I would totally go home from work early. Just because I want to go home from work.
Exactly. People were scared.
Not that I'm making fun of the situation.
No, it's not. It's scary as hell. Students that were away at college would come home to stay at their parents' house. Some people put bars on the window. Like, the entire villages were scared. The press soon gave him the nickname of the Terminator, which meant that Anatoly had achieved his goal. He had become the most feared man in his country. So to keep people safe, the Ukraine started putting military personnel out to patrol certain villages.
Mm-hmm.
The schools were shut down. There were even daily radio updates. With the military patrolling everywhere, the citizens started to feel like they were in the middle of a war.
But I'd almost feel more comfortable with that, you know, because it was
too,
so random.
Unless you find out that it's one of the military, somebody in the military.
That's true.
Doing
that is true.
The police departments were given specific instructions on what to do and what to look for, and they knew how the killer behaved, that he had acted at night. They investigated everything. Any sound that happened, they investigated. Dog barked, they investigated it, and the orders were strict. They had to check everything out. The Ukraine launched this sweeping manhunt because they were just so determined to find this killer, and they knew the work of one man, and they actually dispatched the National Guard plus 2,000 police investigators on this case for one guy.
Did they know it was one guy at this time?
They were convinced that it was, but they didn't know for sure. They said they had special teams with different officers working different capacities. They had officers in the field gathering information around the clock. And what?
I was going to say, he had to love this.
Oh,
that's what he,
you know,
because that's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. They had others that were in charge of strategy that conducted the ground operations.
How much money would that cost? Like, a lot.
A ton. A couple weeks later, a 26-year-old man named Yuri Mazola was arrested, and they believed that he was responsible for the family murders.
So they had the wrong guy.
Over the course of 3 days, 7 Ukrainian law enforcement officials tortured this young man.
Oh.
They tortured him by burning him, electrocution. They tortured him doing all sorts of stuff. This young man refused to confess, and they continued to torture him.
Thank goodness, though, because he didn't do it.
But he died because of the torture. Oh. They tortured him to death. Mm. And those 7 men that did this were prosecuted for murder, and they were sentenced to jail.
Were they officers of the law?
They were Ukrainian law enforcement officials.
Yeah.
A few days later, an anonymous caller gave police a tip about Anatoly. He said he had witnessed him trying to conceal a shotgun as he left his apartment building. Police then surrounded Anatoly's building, stalking out every possible exit until storming the apartment. Detectives had said that it was quite risky because on one hand, there wasn't any evidence that he was the killer. But on the other hand, if it was him and he was a trained killer, all these police officers, it could be a huge massacre. They had suspected that the suspect was antisocial, which
really?
Most of them are, and he wouldn't open the door for anyone.
Not to mention if you thought somebody was coming to get you because he is
exactly.
a killer.
They were thinking that since it was Easter and his fiance was out of town, that when they would go to the house and knock on the door, that he would suspect that it was his fiance.
Mm.
So the police went to the door and knocked, and then when the door opened, there was a small man with red hair. He opened the door calmly because he did expect it was his girlfriend. The police then forced their way in and demanded identification. Atoli reached for his gun, and the police overpowered him. They wrestled the pistol away from him and identified it that it was one that had been stolen from one of the crime scenes.
Mm.
The police went through everything, and they'd hold up everything from the crime scene that was stolen, like all the guns or knives. They're like, well, what about this? What about this? And he's like, that's not mine. All this stuff, it doesn't belong to me. Everything was there, all the evidence. Then Anna returns home, his fiance, and she was shocked to see Anatoly was being arrested. And she had just said, he is the sweetest man I've ever met. Nothing but nice to me. She doesn't have a bad word to say about him. Just like Sergei did.
I was just going to say, you know what? That is probably the case. And that's what's so shocking. They probably are very accommodating and very sweet to their...
Yeah, but Sergei knew that he shot and killed all these people. Sergei was with him.
No, but I'm saying like their loved one.
Oh,
their...
his wife?
Yeah.
Or fiance?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you imagine then finding out that your ring just seconds before he proposed to you, it was on a dead woman's dead cut off finger?
Later? Could you? Oh my, I'd vomit big time.
The police started talking to Anna, his fiance, and they were trying to find ways of how they could connect Anatoly with the murders. And they would ask if he had ever been gone on certain days. And, you know, he had told Anna that he was a...
Well, he'd go out all the time.
Yeah,
right?
He was always like going out of town. Well, he was always out of town for business, remember? She would give him dates. They would always correspond with the murders.
They were able to prove that there was a connection.
They were
right?
able to prove that there was a connection. Yeah. And after what happened with the poor 26-year-old man that was tortured to death,
they wanted to make sure.
Proof without a shadow of a doubt. One of the detectives said, for me, it was crucial that we were sure it was him and to make sure that he could be tied to these killings. The police brought Anatoly in and they interrogated him until about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he denied all involvement. And finally, early morning hours, the next day, he cracked and confessed.
Mm.
He told the interrogators, I was commanded by God to kill. I was chosen because I am a superior specimen. I have the power of hypnosis and can call animals through telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
I can stop and start my heart with my mind.
He never had a problem with animals or his heart. He had a problem with killing, but okay.
He told of being diagnosed with schizophrenia and being admitted to a hospital in Kiev. He told us all about the 52 murders he committed, and not only ones he performed in 1995, but also about the murders he committed in the past. And at this time, Anatoly was kind of starting to express a little grief.
I don't believe that.
Not grief, I would say. He started relief is probably the right word that I meant to read instead of grief.
I don't even believe that because he liked it so much.
Well,
I think
he said he grew tired of killing and being covered in blood all the time.
I don't believe that. I think he wanted the notoriety and he wanted the accolades for doing it. But okay.
The police then turned Anatoly over to the Ukrainian Interior Ministry, which he began making demands almost immediately. He would say, give me a box of candy. Give me some sausages and some crackers.
Give me sausages.
Or I won't talk to you.
So in exchange, I'll give you tip for tat.
I will tell you what you want, but you give me candy. Yeah. Anatoly took advantage of a law that the Ukrainian government has. It states that a trial cannot commence until the defendant has read all the evidence against him at his leisure. Anatoly was obligated to read over volumes of police reports and crime scene photos. So there was 52 dead bodies, some dismembered, some burned. After 7 months, Anatoly finally led the police to the areas where he had killed his victims. He then detailed each murder with that eerie calmness that all these big killers seem to have and remarked how easy it had been for him to kill his victims. Another delay in the trial happened where Ukraine had to transport, feed, and house all the witnesses who came from different parts of the country. So ultimately, there wouldn't be any witness testifying because of just the money situation. They couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the family members didn't want to come forth anyway. It took 3 years of him being in custody. He was finally brought to trial and he was forced to sit in an iron cage. Yeah, you've seen the Chicoletto.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're in the Hannibal Lecter kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
Right, where he's in the iron cage in the courtroom. Yeah. He had to do that, too. And as people were entering the courtroom, people would spit on him and threaten him. I'm going to tear you apart. And, you know, ooh, you're so cool now that he's behind bars. bet you if he was free, you wouldn't be saying that. At one point, from his jail cell in the courtroom, he's like, I am a person. I'm a regular person. Anybody can become a murderer. I was helped, either by a god or the devil, whatever he calls himself. The courtroom was a total mess. People were saying, you know, he needs to be shot. He doesn't deserve to be shot. He needs to die a slow, agonizing death. This is just courtroom, like during the trial.
I'm sure that was so heated, though. Think about it. 52 like, he killed.
People just killed men, women, children for no reason. Of course, the trial drew national publicity. So the judge asked if Anatoly had anything to say. And he's like, nope, I've got nothing. Shrugged his shoulders. And the judge said, you've been informed of your legal rights. And Anatoly said, well, it's your law. And
what does that even mean?
Well, then the judge said, well, state your nationality. And he's like, none. And the judge is like, well, that's impossible. And Anatoly said, well, according to the police, I'm a Ukrainian.
He was, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
He's a Karazian.
Or a U-ass-a-holian.
Exactly. And then the judge says, do you have anything to say in your defense? Anatoly said, I have been a robot for years, driven by dark forces. I should not be put on trial until authorities can determine the force. You are not able to take me as I am. You do not see all the good I am going to do, and you will never understand me. This is a great force that controls this hall as well. You will never understand this. Only your grandchildren will understand.
So did the authorities call the Star Wars fleet? And ask about the good forces and bad forces? Do they ask where he, what side he signed up? Is he on the Darth side?
I don't know. You know, Anatoly was cooperative throughout the trial.
Sort of.
Until the very end. Mm-hmm. Then he requested that his state-appointed lawyer be replaced with someone else. Mm-hmm. Anyone else. But they had to be at least 50 years old, mm-hmm. Jewish or half-Jewish, economically independent, and have international experience.
Well, you know, when I murder 52 people and I go up on trial, that's I have a list.
When it's almost over,
have a list.
You request
yep,
you.
Right mm-hmm. there, right there. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, surprisingly, the court refused his request, and he was confined to the metal cage until the courtroom as the proceedings finished. Anatoly said that he had started preparing for prison life a very long time ago. Mm-hmm. He fasted, he did yoga, cuz you know. And he's not afraid of death, he said. Death for me is nothing. Of course it's not. He just took 52 people's lives. And that's all we know about. There's a point where he was missing for 6 years. Don't know what happened. He said, death is nothing to me. Naturally, I would prefer the death penalty. I have absolutely no interest in relations with people. I have betrayed them. The first time I killed, I shot down a deer in the woods. I was in my early 20s, and I recall feeling very upset when I saw it dead. I couldn't explain why I had done it, and I felt sorry for it. And I never had that feeling again. So the closing arguments began in April of 1999. His lawyer tried to bring up his childhood to get some sympathy. Mm-hmm. My defendant was deprived of motherly love since the age of 4, and the absence of care, which is necessity for the formation of to be a real man. He wanted the court to soften the punishment for him.
Yeah, of course.
Anatoly's lawyer later said that he knew Anatoly was the epitome of evil, and he was just saying this for the dramatic effect, and also said that he was cunning and shrewd, and he was a great psychologist, mm-hmm. and he was hard to catch because he acted alone. Yeah. He was a butcher. He killed defenseless and poor people. He specifically chose villages on the outskirts of mm-hmm. populated towns where there are no phones, where cars couldn't get through very well.
Tiny. Little, like, mm-hmm. one-stop shop.
And even if somebody heard gunfire or anything like that, that there wouldn't really be anybody to call to complain. After only 3 hours of deliberation, the judge sentenced Anatoly to death by shooting. The Russians sentence you and take you out back and shoot you right then.
Well,
I think it'd be much better.
I kind of do too.
Anatoly said in his final statement, I've robbed and killed, but I'm a robot. I don't feel anything. I've been close to death so many times that it's even interesting for me now to venture into the afterworld to see what is there after this death.
So, you know, that kind of makes me wonder if he was with a lot of murderers. Mm-hmm. I really, truly believe they're suicidal in a way. Mm-hmm. They're doing this stuff to get caught. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But he said that, and that kind of told me that it doesn't matter because I've been there. And I think in a way, maybe he did want to die.
I think now that he's caught, he wanted to die, but I think he would have gone on killing. I don't think he wanted to get caught.
Right.
I thought that it was just since he got caught. Yeah, I can die.
Yeah.
I mean,
got away with it 52 plus times.
Right. The Ukraine, however, had just joined the Council of Europe and they had committed to abolishing capital punishment. So he was spared the death penalty. Even though Anatoly was spared the death penalty, he gave the president of the Ukraine a personalized letter that he would kill again. He says, if I am ever let out, I will start killing again. But this time it will be worse, 10 times worse. The urge is there. Seize this chance because I am being groomed to serve Satan. After what I have learned out there, I have no competitors in my field. If I am not killed, I will escape from this jail, and the first thing I will do is find the Ukrainian president and hang him from a tree by his testicles. Such a sweetheart. On August 27th, 2013, age 54, the Terminator, Anatoly, would die of heart failure in prison.
So they didn't even kill him? He died natural causes?
Natural causes.
It's almost unfair.
That's a lot of people. And
that was good.
Kind of an amazing story. I had never heard of him before. I'd never heard the story before.
Have you ever heard of that story?
I'd never heard the story before. Have you?
No.
And honestly, it was a bonus from
But you know what? That just goes to show you, like, keeping, I don't know, I guess like in other countries, I mean, we kind of know about the mass murderers in Canada, the U.S., and maybe a few from Mexico, but that's it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, we know England, like Boston.
Yeah, but like
the Boston Strangler in England, he was amazing. I'm telling you, he got over there.
It was amazing,
amazing. And, what do you call the funny part?
They called him the Boston Strangler in England.
They did.
Yeah.
Finding all this is like totally opened up the door for all these serial killers that I'd never heard of before. At all.
And now it's you're a podcaster.
But this is right up our alley at the time that we were like really big into the whole
And the internet has made all of this more
accessible.
Yeah. I was going to say reachable, but accessible is a better word.
Accessible.
All right, Jen. Well, that was good. You want to tell the good people how they can find us?
No, you want to?
Not really. You can catch us on Twitter at @OurTrueCrimePod.
And Camille has one at OTCP.
I don't even know what it is. Okay. We have a Facebook account. We also have a blog, ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. You can email us there.
You can also listen to the podcast there if you
would prefer. Also listen to our podcast on Spotify, Podbean, any iTunes, Apple iTunes, anywhere you want to.
Any podcatchers.
Yep. That you catch your pods.
We're there. If not, let us know. What else?
I think that's it. You have anything you want to share, anything you want to talk about, go ahead and DM Jen at her Twitter account, or you can Facebook us, I guess.
You can find a way to get, or our Gmail, or our true crime podcast at gmail.com.
Yep. And that's it. Okay. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
I love ya.
That's going to be a doozy to edit, girl.
Anatoly jumped out of the car with his sawed-off shotgun, and his partner, Rogozin? Sergei. We're just going to go with Sergei. Yelena, Peter's wife, not a big fan of Antonoli? Of this guy? Anatoly. Oh, these names, I'm telling you. I'm not even going to say a name. This town, the Garmarnia, it reminds me. What's the Smurfs? The one that wanted to eat the Smurfs all the time?
Gargamel.
Gargamel. Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. But it's Garmarnia. Gargamarnia. And this house was located in a village of Garmarnia.
Narnia.
Garmarnia. It reminds
Narnia.
Me.
Narnia. The wardrobe. Closet.
Garmarnia.
Narnia. Narnia.
Narnia. Close to that. So he stood around and like looked at the gross scene for a while before he said, and like he admired what he was doing, you know, because he's gross.
Sorry.
See, that is funny. Gross. See, gross. It was gross. Oh God, it was gross.
He admired it because it was gross.
It was gross. These names. And then took the train to another village, Bratakovichi. He went to that one place.
Is
I guess somewhere people would be insulted because we're laughing, but I'm laughing because the way you're pronouncing it.
Because I can't know how to pronounce
but
it.
But you see what I'm saying? I'm laughing, and then somebody might be insulted that we think that we're laughing at the deaths, and that's not
we're
it
not.
At all.
We're laughing because I totally have no idea how
because
to speak
because you don't know
Ukrainian.
How to speak that, yes, but...
A tape deck. Probably made her a bunch of mixtapes. Saving all my love for you. Anatoly invaded the home of the Dubchuk. How much dub would a Dubchuk?
Not funny.
Dubchuk. I don't know. Home of the...
Person?
Invaded a home. Another home. Anatoly invaded another home. We're not laughing. We're laughing because I'm a fucking idiot and I can't pronounce these names. another beer. Is there another beer?
Oh, no, there's one more time.
You drank it all.
Drank it all. 8 down, buddy.
You drank 5. I got 3. No, I got 3.
Yeah, I drank 5.
So the police would notice. Are you done?
Stop it. I'm trying not to breathe in the air. Oh, Lord. Okay. You always yell at me. Are you done? No, I'm not done.
Are you through yet?
Are you through yet?
I'm scared just thinking about how gross he is and all that dribble and slang that he uses. It's gross.
Stop it. Stop. Gotta concentrate. We are professionals. We are professional.
I profess.
Professional podcasters.
This is gross.
My face is on fire.
My junk is on fire. Okay, so...
Oh my god, it's so funny.
We might stick it in there. I don't think they listened to us. Anatoly's lawyer said that he was gross and evil.
Did he say gross and evil?
No. He said he knew. The Ukrainian president.
Oh.
Kuchma? Kuchima? Kuchi man.